What was it like in the submarine?
Well, you don't get no sensation, really. You just hear those throbbing noise. That's all, the electric motors cramped up like everything else is, of course. But there's nothing different. It's no different than if you went nowadays on the shuttle under the tunnel. It's just the same. The only thing you get is when you're up on top, it's a bit rough. When they charge their battery up at night, it's a bit rough. You could incline to get a bit seasick, but then they wouldn't allow us up there in case you had to submerge quick, and we weren't quick enough for that. We weren't submariners, not like they were. They could get down those ladders, just slide down on two hands, no feet touching the rails. So we had to stay there until we got back to Jib. That was that.
Were you nervous on that trip?
No. Make the most of it. Just make the most of it. We didn't worry. Honestly, we didn't. No.
Going back to hunting that Italian submarine, what details can you remember about attacking that?
Well, that just come up on the surface just near where we were. So we only had a small Jap generator for a searchlight, that was all. Of course, we got that on, shone that on it, and they put their hands up, two blokes. It's a two-bloke submarine, they put their hands up, and we put like that, back that way. And that just got in front of us, when it got straight back to the mole, and they opened the big chain things that stopped the submarines going in the harbour. Enough to, for us to get through. And then the naval picket come out and collared them and took them away.
Collared who?
The two Italians that were on the submarine, this midget submarine. And they just took them away. And that was, well, we heard about that. We didn't hear no more. We didn't hear no more about it. We didn't get congratulated or nothing like that, or get a medal or nothing. It's just one of those things in those days.
Did you speak to them?
No.
Did they seem frightened?
They just put their hands up straight away when we put a little searchlight on them. They just put their hands up straight away. They sat us astride the like midget submarine. They didn't go right down underneath the water. Their heads were just above it, and they sat above. I don't know, if I can't really describe it, but the English had them as well. I mean, we had midget submarines on D-Day, but they had a crew of three or five, but these were just two-man submarines that, what was his name?
What did these...
He disappeared. The British were practicing these submarine dives in Gibraltar, and God, I can't think of his name. He disappeared. They reckon that a Russian ship, he went round spying on a Russian ship under the water. Gibson? Oh, I can't remember his name. But he disappeared. He never was found. That was a big thing in the papers about it.
But what did these two Italians look like, whom you captured?
Well, they just, like ordinary blokes with wetsuits on. That was all. No different from you, me, or anybody else.
Was there any resistance?
No, I think they're glad to get out of it, I think. Same as we were, get back on land. That ain't no fun going up the straits that you brought in a little tug, I can tell you. No way. Because when they go through the Straits of Gibraltar, and mostly at night you get these great big cargo boats going through there, no lights. You have your eyes about you, because you did, honestly. And when the fleet changed over, H-Force to the Med, and I was on Gibraltar then, but we heard they were coming in, and had all these great battleships, cruisers, corvettes, and they were all changing over. The Med was going back to H-Force, and H-Force going out in the Med. And there's battleships everywhere. And of course, just across the bay is Algiers, which was a home for spies. You couldn't move from here to there unless they knew about it in Algiers. That was a proper spy place. That was. Yeah. Well, we stuck that for 3 years.
What were your living conditions like in Gibraltar?
Right, old-fashioned Victorian barracks, where the great big long rooms with about 40 soldiers in, say 20 each side. Like an old-fashioned hospital ward, these great big barracks. And at the end was a washroom. We could wash or have a shower, but there was no fresh water. I never drank no fresh water for over 3 years. It was all salt water. All salt water, washing, shaving, everything.
What effect did the salt water have on your system?
Well, you went all white. You had special, what they called salt water soap. And that was white. And if you washed that, and you got it all off, and you go out looking at it, you'd have white all here, all around here, off this soap. And you had a hell of a job to get it off there. But the only fresh water they got, you see, was from the fleet. When Ark Royal come in that, they had all the fresh water that they would do at sea. They do their own fresh water, you see, on the battleships. And they would pump so much onto the Gibraltar for cooking purposes and all that sort of purpose. But we never had no fresh water to drink.
So, what effect did the salt water have on your insides?
None. I ain't never suffered with nothing. No, I ain't never. I honestly ain't never suffered with anything. I haven't honestly heard of anybody else, to be quite honest with you. No, not on. No. And one day a week. Now I remember, one day a week would be a breadless day where you wouldn't have any bread. So they just had these big square hard biscuits. And what they'd done to those biscuits is a miracle. They would mince them up, put them through the mincer. They would try and make pastry out of them. And they used to get tins of what we called McConaughey's. That was a big tins of just vegetables all minced up and that in big tins. They would put it in these great big trays and they could mince all these biscuits up, try and make a pastry out of it and put it on top in the ovens. And when it cooked, well, you couldn't even break it with a hammer, let alone anything else. It's rock solid. It's terrible, terrible. But they'd done that for so long that it was all wasted. So they stopped doing it because you couldn't eat it. It was, you can't describe it, honestly.
What was the bread like?
That was just ordinary bread. Yeah, that was just ordinary bread. They had their own bakers. If they had a flour, I was getting the supplies in. That was the trouble. But of course, when war first started, the Navy, if they could, they captured a couple of French cargo boats and brought them into Gib. But the thing was, they were both loaded up with coffee beans. I can remember that, coffee beans. So if you ever had army coffee, you wouldn't appreciate it, believe you me. They put the beans in a bucket and try and crunch them up and pour hot water on them. And they would bring that round and pour it out of a big bucket into your mess tin. And that was your coffee. Oh, dear.
Did you have much to do with these Spanish dockyard workers?
Not the dockyards itself. I was on duty quite a bit on the frontier at La Linea. There. We used to take it in turns. The battalions, say, do a month on the borders, and then you would have to search everybody that was going back from Gibraltar into La Linea or La Linea into Spain, because they used to have 14,000 to 15,000 Spaniards come into Gibraltar every day, working in dockyards, or the women would be doing cleaning purposes, officers' quarters and that sort of thing. But they had a great big dockyard there, huge, great big. Well, they could get the art roll in it, huge, till they closed it all down. But they are.
How did the Spaniards behave?
Pardon?
How did the Spaniards behave in Gibraltar?
All right. They could get what they wanted. Because when we were on duty at the border, you used to have the, we'll say, the border here, then there was some like wasteland there, then they would have the Spanish border. It's like a no man's land between it. And when the Spanish workers used to come back, they used to go in the shops and they could buy what they wanted, and you'd have to search them, you know. And they'd have all sorts. They'd have special linings in their coats and that, and be sugar, tea, and all this soap, anything like that, in these, trying to smuggle it across into Spain, because they had nothing. They didn't have nothing, because they just more or less finished with the Civil War in Spain, aren't they, in those days. So a lot of it we used to take off of them, and then we found out that if they got to the Spanish frontier there, the Spanish sentries used to take half of what they had, for themselves. So if we took some and they took some, the poor devils, when they got back, didn't have anything there. So a lot of them we let go. It won't affect in our supplies anyway. Like coffee beans, they'd stick a load in their pocket, so we were glad to get rid of it. They could fill a cartload up and get it over there. Then we used to let the guards have cigarettes. They were all right. The only thing we were frightened of is that they might go in with Germany when Germany was going right through the Low Countries, as we called it, because we were bombed a couple of times, Italians, with the Italians there. But they didn't bomb Gibraltar itself. Next to it was the village called La Linea, and then there was a great big mountain at the back of it called Sam Rookie, and they bombed that for Gibraltar. And they bombed that a couple of times there. But then I suppose the Spanish got in touch with them, whatever it was, I don't know. But they didn't come over no more. But we really got a scare on when, you know, when Germany was going mad and taking all France and Holland and Poland and this, that and the other. Oh dear. You know.
So were any casualties caused by enemy air attacks?
Not on you. We used to have some of the murder.